Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, February 12, 2025, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at FransDorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. My health... Ron has stepped out of the room, but I really want to ask him some stuff. But anyway, as far as me concerned, I'm doing pretty good. My naturopath wants me to take more herbs. I don't know how much more herbs I can take. One of the herbs that I'm taking is Japanese knotweed. The thing with Japanese knotweed has high quantities of resveratrol in it. And one of the things about resveratrol is it increases circulation. In general, it also increases circulation to your brain. So some people don't do great with Japanese knotweed. When I took resveratrol pills, I did perfectly fine with those. But my naturopath and my mentor for Lyme disease, Mariah, suggests that resveratrol pills aren't as effective as Japanese knotweed tincture, which has all of the synergistic components of Japanese knotweed. So I haven't been taking resveratrol, I've been taking Japanese knotweed herb. I tried to increase the dose as directed by my naturopath, Marissa, and I tried to do that and I felt kind of logy and lightheaded and weird. And as it happens, with that resveratrol, for some people, can increase circulation to your brain enough to cause discomfort. Some people get headaches, some people it increases migraines. In my case, I think it just makes me a little bit logy. I also have to wonder if I have a generally not so fast metabolism, not so fast liver, and that I can do lower doses of things and have them still be effective. So I did increase my dose of two of the herbs, which is Sweet Annie, otherwise known as Artemisia annua, which is a great antifungal, antimicrobial. It can kill Lyme. It can kill babesiosis, which I have been exposed to. So I increased that. I also increased cat's claw, and cat's claw's big deal is that it can increase your natural killer cells, and then the natural killer cells supports the immune system in running around and getting rid of stuff. Everything else I kept at the same dose. I'm concerned about increasing Chinese skullcap because Chinese skullcap over time can cause liver inflammation, and I do have an ever so slightly elevated liver enzyme. So I didn't want to increase that one. I didn't increase Teasel either. Teasel is a great one to go after Lyme disease and also to help to mend bones, joints, and tendons. And I am already taking a lot of things for my bones, joints, and tendons. So I'm probably going to leave that one as it is. Anyway, I have to have a conversation with Marissa, which I'll let you know about when that happens. Otherwise, the main symptom that I have from this whole mess is still fatigue. And I have days when I feel pretty good, like right now. And then I have other days when I feel like I slept 10 hours and I could sleep another 10. And that still happens. And it happened. I didn't feel great on Saturday. Yesterday, Sunday, I really, I didn't want to go anywhere. And today I feel pretty good. Go figure, right? So I don't know how much of that is the Lyme that, you know, the fatigue comes and goes, and how much of it is I really shouldn't be drinking any caffeine at all because the caffeine messes with my energy. It revs me up and then kicks me down. So I'm not sure. I know that if I do too much caffeine, this is more likely to happen. So it may be that. And I'm just not 100% sure. And one of the things I'm going to have to do is people do dry January. I do dry most days anyway, so I don't care if I have some alcohol. But what I need to do is unsweet January and uncaffeinated January. That's what I need to do. Although January's over, that's what I have to do it in February, which is sad because Valentine's Day is coming, which we're going to talk about. Anyway, so that's what's going on with me. And, you know, moving right along, riding my bike, doing yoga, and doing some weightlifting. And I'm able to do that. I'm able to work. And that's where we're at. I just wish I could feel energetic all the time. That would be the best thing. So that's what's going on with me. How about you, Ron?
Oh, you know, same old stuff.
But you went to the naturopath. How was that?
I did. I went to the naturopath, and I saw someone, not you, that was the naturopath. Yes.
Which is great, because when I have to take care of it all the time, someone doesn't always listen to me, which is just the nature of it.
Anyway.
It's just the nature of it.
You got a cheer for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm from Queens.
Okay.
Is there a Queens cheer?
You are a queen.
I'm a queen. Okay.
You are a queen. Yeah. There it is.
It's all right. So how was that trip to the naturopath?
It was good. It was informative. It was, I had to slow both you guys down a little bit when you got going. But other than that, it's kind of like doing an episode of Radio Naturopath, actually.
Oh, except that there's two people there.
Except there's two.
It's stereo.
Instead of one, right?
Yes.
You know, she seems really sharp and you know, on top of this whole Lyme thing. And hopefully we will get this resolved, at least the Lyme part of what's going on with me.
Yeah.
If that's entirely what it is. But, you know, I've got some other avenues I have to look at still, too.
Right.
So I still have an appointment with a neurologist, and I still have I still have to go to a chiropractor.
Right.
And maybe have some things done there that might make a difference.
And when were you going to do that?
I was going to do that as soon as we got done with our shows today.
Oh, actually. Great. Oh, yes. That's terrific.
Yeah. But I just need to go over a couple of things with you before I go.
Okay, very good. That's exciting.
If that will make you calm.
I feel calm. I'm just concerned for you because I just know how good Dr. Scott makes me feel.
Right.
And you're not going, and it could really help you.
In the meantime, I've been doing a lot of things with the foam roller and with, you know, yoga positions and different things to try to get my back to free up a little bit, because we don't know whether or not I have a pinch on the nerve and that's what's causing the problem, or whether it's Lyme disease, or maybe a little of both.
Yeah, it's probably a little
so of both. All I know is that it's very frustrating.
And I
would like to come to a point in time where stairs are no longer a concern.
Because it's still a concern.
Always.
Always. Oh,
always, yeah.
And meanwhile, I can encourage you to work on your neck, which you hadn't been doing so much, and you've been doing that.
Right.
Because I was concerned that you have narrowed neural foramina in your cervical spine.
Which in normal speak is?
You have between your C4 and C5 vertebrae, which are the two, you know, spinal column bones in your neck, you have spaces between the vertebrae where the nerves come out. And you know, part of it's part of the brachial plexus. So the brachial plexus is brachial means your arm. So it's part of the brachial plexus is the group of nerves that feed your arm. So you have these nerves, the part of the nerves that come from C4, C5, come through a little hole between the little space.
Right. I saw that on a YouTube video.
Right.
Recently.
And it comes out, and those holes are called the foramina, one foramen, two foramina. So anyway, if you have narrowed foramina, you can have pressure on the nerves.
Right.
And because it's in your cervical spine, look how far up it is.
Yeah.
It can affect your spine all the way down. Because the signals can't get through because you have pressure high up.
Right.
So if you try to open up the neck and have more space between the neck and try to open up those spaces, you can have more communication through your spine down to your feet.
Right. I've been doing some things where you put your hands behind your head like this and, well, you can't see this on this.
I'll do it.
Yes, like that. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then you kind of tilt your head back and you lift up. No, actually, you tilt your head forward and you lift up. So you're lifting up to release the pressure on your spine.
Uh-huh, right.
And that's supposed to help.
Yeah.
And then there's some side things you can do and all, but...
Right, yeah, just turning your head side to side and different stretches. You can look down at your armpit. You can look up at the sky.
Right.
You can turn your head over to the side and do everything on both sides.
But my range of motion isn't bad in my neck. As some people are. You know, I see the differences.
Your range of motion can be okay, but you could have a specific spot where there's pressure.
Right.
So, so you're working on that, and aren't you putting a thingy in your pillow?
I am sleeping with a neck pillow now.
Yes.
Which is similar to the one that you would, well, it is the one that you would use if you go on an airplane.
On a plane, right.
And instead of using a pillow, I just use that.
Yeah.
So I just stick that behind my neck, and I'll use a very light pillow underneath my head, but pretty much most of the pressure is around the neck with the neck pillow.
Yeah.
And that's a little weird, and I mean, it seems to be working to a degree, but I'm not sleeping as well lately, but I am wondering whether or not the herbs and things are doing a number on me at the moment, because that stuff that you guys gave me to help take out heavy metals and lime and all that.
The pectisol.
Weird dreams.
Yeah, modified citrus pectin.
Weird dreams.
Right.
And that's, so I didn't have a good night's sleep last night at all.
Maybe you should try a night without the modified citrus pectin and just see if you sleep better.
Because
if it's the modified citrus pectin, maybe we should try another. Have you been taking chlorella?
I don't know.
You haven't gotten the chlorella would be the little tiny green pills.
No, I have not.
Okay, so you have
you
not
gave
been, right.
me them once, and then I haven't seen them.
So we're going to get you your own bottle of chlorella. So you could try to take chlorella instead. Like maybe take a night where you don't take the modified citrus pectin. I can give you some of my chlorella tonight.
That won't be tonight because I already took it. So.
Oh, because you take it once in the day.
Yeah.
You don't take it twice a day?
I take it just in the morning.
How many scoops?
One.
Ooh. Yeah, you're supposed
to take... too much?
No, you're supposed to take a couple.
Two scoops?
At least. She wants you to take three. Did she say that?
I don't remember.
She really wants you to take three. Because she wants you to take... You're taking three droppers of each of the herbs. Oh, right. And by the way, when Ron got his tincture, we looked at the his Lyme test, and he really didn't have any co-infections.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just being treated for Lyme, so he's only taking six herbs. Lucky. And they are cordyceps, teasel... cat's claw, I think Hatunia, Sweet Annie, and one more.
Can't remember.
I know it was cordyceps, teasel, it was, I think, Sweet Annie.
I can go get the sheet.
And cat's claw. Yeah, get the sheet, and then I'll tell you which ones it was. All right. So in the meantime, I'll start talking about other things. So we're going to... when you're listening to this, we will already have gone to the co-op's birthday party, which has a number of cakes. The number of cakes of the birthday that it is, and I think this is the 46th year, but I'm not sure. So it's the 46th anniversary of the founding of the Willimantic Food Co-op. And so that happened, if you're listening on the 12th, that happened... on the 9th. So we'll give you more information about that next week. So Ron's herbs, it's Japanese knotweed. He's taking Japanese knotweed, cat's claw, hotunia, teasel, cordyceps, and sweet Annie. And that's it. And I'm taking a lot more because I have co-infections. So I am taking all of those, plus motherwort, which I was taking anyway. That was not directed by Marissa. But I'm also taking Chinese skullcap and cryptolepis. And motherwort and kudzu, and those are more directed at co-infections. The kudzu is directed at nerve healing, and it's a great antioxidant. The motherwort is directed at my heart because I get palpitations. And palpitations is one of my symptoms of Lyme disease. That when my Lyme is flared, my heart jumps around. So I'm taking more stuff, but he's only taking six herbs, so he gets three droppers of each herb. So you take three droppers of each herb. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, taking 18 droppers of everything and once a day? That's what you're doing?
You got it all mixed into one thing.
I know. So how many droppers are you taking?
Three.
You're supposed to be taking 18 droppers of this tincture a day.
18?
Yes. Six droppers three times a day. Yes. Yes, you're supposed to take one dropper of each herbs. So I know it says on here one dropper full three times a day, but what she meant by that was one dropper full of each herb.
Oh.
So you're supposed to be taking
Amy's going to mix that up for me, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I take...
You're going to take 6 droppers 3 times a day.
6 droppers 3 times a day.
Yes.
Holy moly.
Right. Okay. Or if you insist, and that's what she's going to want you to do. If you can't be bothered to take it 3 times a day, then you're going to take 9 droppers 2 times a day.
It's a lot, yeah.
It is a lot, and that's what you're supposed to do. Mm. Yeah, 3 droppers of this won't get you very far. Okay. 3 droppers a day. No, right. You're supposed to... I mean, that's not what I do. I'm taking, I'm taking 2 droppers of most of them, and I'm taking 3 droppers of 2 of them right now.
Okay. I thought originally you had told me 3 droppers.
Well, that's what it says. It says that on here. It says 1 dropper full 3 times a day. That is what it says on here.
Yeah.
But that's confusing. That's not what she meant. 1 dropper full of each of the herbs.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what she meant. I mean, you could double check with her, but that I know that's what she means for me. So... and she thinks I'm not taking enough because I'm not taking 3 droppers. I'm taking 2 droppers of most of the things.
Wow.
But I'm taking 3 droppers of 2 of them right now.
Yeah. All right. So, well, anyway. I'll up the ante there.
Yes, because the thing is you'll get better faster if you do that. Well, and that's what they recommend, and that's what you're supposed to do. Now, if you find that you feel awful when you do that, then we will revisit that.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, so people are listening to this on the 12th of February. So 12th. In 2 days, it's our 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been together 20 years.
Mm.
How crazy is that?
Still crazy after all these years.
After all these years, I know. So I can't believe it's been 20 years.
I know. It's been a long time.
I know. And we're still together. It still works pretty good, I guess.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah, it works pretty good, I guess, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, we know each other pretty well. We tolerate each other. now, he's a good guy. I must say, he's a good guy, and he's a good life partner. And he, when I was thinking about what kind of a life partner I want, what I wanted was somebody who was kind and sweet and romantic, but also was somebody who I could work together with to help heal the community and the planet. And that's what he is. I got that. Because he supports me in what I do. I support him in what he does. And then we do some stuff together. Like this.
Yeah.
Wanted to help. I wanted to, you know, help to heal the community. And I wanted somebody who I could do that with. And he does that.
I fit the bill.
So we have the, so he supports me with natural medicine. And I support him with cycling. And we do cycling stuff together. And we're supportive of each other's activities, like literally and figuratively. Like I just whine to him when I come home and vice versa. But also, you know, we get involved in each other's events. So if there's a naturopathic event that's local, he will help me out with that. And certainly we're doing Radio Naturopath together and we do Bicycle Talk together. And I work his race. He runs the Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross race. So I work that. And when I'm able, I go up. I was going up with you to the Farm to Fork Fondos.
Mm.
I don't know if I'll do that again, but that has more to do with health than me not wanting to do it. But we were doing that together. So it's been really cool. And we're, you know, we have a lot of similar interests. We're politically aligned pretty much. And yeah.
Yeah.
Got anything to say?
No, I think that you pretty much nailed it. That's yeah. You know.
Right. And you like being with a naturopath?
Right.
It's okay. Is it okay?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I understand self-employment because I was for many
right.
years.
Right, you were.
That
that's
was
all
one
true.
Of our one of our key components when we started was...
We're both self-employed.
We're both self-employed, so our schedules are not necessarily compatible with relationships.
Right, but
if you understand it, then it's a lot easier to do.
Yeah, that's right.
But you have to understand that
right,
there has to be a lot of flexibility.
There's going to be 8 o'clock nights.
Yeah, or sometimes I wouldn't get home until like 10. Or
right.
11 at
yeah.
night, you know, because
I used to do that
road.
Too. I've been managing to not do that anymore. I've just gotten more efficient with my charting and stuff.
Well,
so,
I was driving a lot. So.
You were driving a lot and coming back from
who knows where?
Right. New England.
Bangor.
Bangor.
Yeah.
Right. Bangor and Virginia and stuff. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so happy anniversary to us.
Yeah.
We'll have to do something special. for Valentine's Day. Or around sleep. Valentine's Day. Then there's that. Sleep is good. We always enjoy sleep. So, Valentine's Day will be Friday the 14th.
Mm.
Right. So if you're listening on the 12th, that's in 2 days. So I'll wear a red dress or something. I have a really cute shirt on. It has, if you're watching on Facebook Live or Instagram Live, I have a cute shirt with great big hearts on. And I thought this was adorable. It has red and black plaid sleeves. It has coal-colored heather, which so there's something very soothing about coal heather. It has three great big hearts on it. A great big heart that has, again, black and red plaid, black and white stripes, and normal leopard, just brown leopard. It's very cute. So I thought it would be a nice, this is my Valentine's Day. I'll probably wear this several times before Valentine's Day is up. I have other love shirts and stuff that I will wear, you know, because it's fun.
Okay.
So anyway, so of course this year, when Valentine's Day is upon us, I like to talk about the health benefits of chocolate. So we get to talk about chocolate again. So here's an article about, are you overdoing it after hysterectomy? I have had women patients do that. Athletes who just can't stop their athletics and they get back into it too soon. And then they come to me and they're like, my belly hurts. And I'm like, you have to rest. Give it a rest. Calm down. You're going to be able to fully get back to all your sports. But right now you need to rest. You started in too soon and everything is still inflamed and not put together. And be careful. So anyway, so I wanted to talk, but let's talk about dark chocolate. It's really delicious if you like it. Some people don't like dark chocolate. They don't like chocolate. And it tastes really good and it does have health benefits. It's made from the seeds of the cacao tree, which are rich in antioxidants, flavonoids, other beneficial compounds. Has theobromine, which is energizing and helps to open up your airways. Dark chocolate has more cocoa solids with less sugar than milk chocolate, which makes it a healthier choice for chocolate lovers. So here's some health benefits. Chocolate can help to improve heart health. It does it in a number of ways. It can lower your blood pressure, cholesterol, and inflammation, which are all risk factors for cardiovascular disease. And Ron puts some raw organic cocoa powder in his smoothie every day. It can improve blood flow to your heart and prevent clots from forming. It increases the production of nitric oxide, which relaxes and widens your blood vessels. There was a study that found that eating dark chocolate at least 5 times a week was associated with a 57% lower risk of coronary heart disease. Another found that eating dark chocolate 2 or more times a week reduced your risk of having a stroke by 20%. So that's very nice. So dark chocolate is anti-inflammatory. So chronic inflammation can lead to various diseases so a little bit of inflammation can help you acutely to fight a situation that's going on. So if you hurt yourself, you're going to have some inflammation to bring circulation and white blood cells and healing items to a part of the body. But if you have chronic inflammation, then it starts to cause damage to tissues. So chronic inflammation is something that you want to tamp back. And so when you have chronic inflammation, it can lead to diabetes, arthritis, even cancer. So dark chocolate can help reduce inflammation by modulating your immune system and suppressing cytokine production. And cytokines are inflammatory compounds that are made by your white blood cells. It has polyphenols called flavanols, which are anti-inflammatory agents, and they protect you from oxidative damage. There was a study that found that eating 40 grams of dark chocolate a day for 4 weeks reduced the levels of C-reactive protein, which is an inflammation marker, by 23%. Chocolate can improve your cognitive function. It's good for your heart and your brain. It helps improve blood flow to the brain because it's a nitric oxide enhancer. It helps with neurogenesis, so it can increase neuron growth. So that dark chocolate powder that you're taking, you want to keep taking that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. It can help to protect the brain from aging neurodegenerative disease because it reduces oxidative stress and inflammation. There was a study that found that eating dark chocolate daily for 8 weeks improved memory, attention, processing speed, and verbal fluency in elderly people with mild cognitive impairment. There are other studies that reveal that if you eat dark chocolate before a cognitive test, it'll improve your performance and mental fatigue. Dark chocolate can help to benefit your skin by safeguarding from sun damage. It helps with hydration and it can reduce acne. Remember, you thought that chocolate increased your acne. It probably doesn't. It can reduce it. But sugar can increase your acne. So if you're doing chocolate with a lot of sugar in it, that will increase your acne. But if, and it's not the chocolate, it's the sugar. So if you do raw organic cocoa powder with no sugar in it or cacao nibs, that's anti-inflammatory and you can have as much as you want. Whereas if you're eating dark chocolate, you know, at least 70% dark chocolate, you want to limit how much you're having in a day, a square or two. But if you are eating unsweetened, non-alkalized dark chocolate, then you can have as much as you want. Dark chocolate has zinc in it, which is a mineral for skin health, and zinc can regulate sebum production. So if you have adequate zinc, having adequate zinc on board is something that can help with acne. There was a study that found that eating 20 grams of dark chocolate, which has 320 milligrams of cocoa flavanols a day for 12 weeks, increased skin hydration, smoothness, and thickness. Dark chocolate can help with weight loss. Again, it has to not have sugar in it. It has to have minimal sugar in it. It can help you shed some pounds by suppressing your appetite, increasing metabolism, and reducing stress. Dark chocolate has fiber in it. You know, it's a fruit. It comes from the cacao fruit. So there's fiber in it. So it can help you feel satisfied for longer periods of time. And also there is caffeine and theobromine in dark chocolate. Those are stimulants that will boost your energy. And it can help, that can help you to burn fat. And dark chocolate also can lower cortisol levels, which is a stress hormone that triggers hunger and fat storage. Dark chocolate, well, the cocoa flavanols, unsweetened, can reduce the risk of diabetes. You would think that people with diabetes shouldn't have chocolate. Again, it's not the chocolate, it's the sugar. But it can actually help prevent or manage this condition by improving insulin sensitivity, lowering your blood sugar levels, and reducing inflammation. The nutrients in dark chocolate, specifically the polyphenols, can enhance the function of insulin receptors and facilitate glucose uptake by cells. Dark chocolate also contains magnesium, which can regulate blood sugar and prevent insulin resistance. Also can protect the pancreas from inflammatory damage, which can help to prevent diabetes. There was a study that showed that eating dark chocolate every day for 15 days improved insulin sensitivity by 30% in healthy volunteers. That's great. Chocolate may improve your mood. Dark chocolate might make you happier. It can stimulate endorphins, serotonin, and anandamide. That word ananda is a Sanskrit word for love. So anandamide is a compound that chocolate stimulates you to make, and it just makes you feel more happier, content, and connected with people and the world. So the endorphin, serotonin, and anandamide will help you to feel pleasure, happiness, and well-being. And those who frequently consume dark chocolate tend to have lower cortisol and lower adrenaline, which are known to promote anxiety and depression. Dark chocolate can also provide sensory satisfaction that improves mood and reduces the cravings for other sweets. So it was found that eating 40 grams of dark chocolate a day for 2 weeks reduced the levels of cortisol and anxiety in people with chronic stress. Chocolate may help fight cancer. Dark chocolate may also have anti-cancer properties that can support it by inhibiting the growth, invasion, and metastasis of cancer cells, including tumor apoptosis, which is cell death, and preventing angiogenesis. That means the cancer cells create new blood vessels to feed the cancer itself. The antioxidants in dark chocolate scavenge free radicals, protect your DNA from cancerous mutations and damage. They can also help improve your immune function and help your body better detect cancer. Eating dark chocolate can also improve your microbiome. That's the gut flora, the flora in your digestive system. Dark chocolate has prebiotics, which are indigestible fibers that can feed the beneficial bacteria, increase numbers in your belly. Polyphenols in dark chocolate influence the activity and metabolism of good bacteria, and it enhances interactions with the host. They can also reduce the growth of harmful bacteria like Clostridium difficile, which causes diarrhea and colitis. There was a study that found that eating dark chocolate every day for 4 weeks increased the levels of bifidobacteria and lactobacillus, which are probiotic bacteria that can improve digestion, immunity, and mood. And also bifidobacteria, there's various forms of bifidobacteria that actually help with your microbiome. There's a bifidobacteria it's a bifidobacteria supplement that's been advertised at me on my social media, and it's kind of pricey, but it's this brand, and it has mostly bifidobacteria in it, specific bifidobacteria species. So I looked and found, I looked at what the species were, and I looked in my at my distributors, and I found a product that had them all in it for a lot less. So the thing is, if you get advertised a fancy supplement and they're pushing it at you on Facebook and on your social media and emails and things like that, do your research, because you may be able to find something that's as high quality but that's not as heavily advertised, and you may save money that way. So you might want to consider doing that, because that's what I've found, that they put a fancy name on it and then I'm able to find it from my distributors, and it's a high quality company and they're not advertising the way these are, and so you save money that way. So that's good. So I'm trying this bifidobacteria supplement, and I'll see if it reduces my food cravings and helps me with a little bit of fat loss. We'll see. Chocolate may help your sleep quality. It helps to regulate your circadian rhythm, which is your internal clock that tells you when to sleep and wake up, because there's tryptophan in dark chocolate. It's a precursor to serotonin and melatonin, and melatonin is the hormone that helps induce sleepiness and promotes your sleep and your deepest restful sleep. And there's high magnesium levels in dark chocolate. It can relax your muscles and nerves, thereby easing symptoms of insomnia. Again, there is a product that's being advertised online that's a hot cocoa that has magnesium in it, and they're, you know, promoting it as something you drink before bed. And again, you're probably paying more than you might need to, because what you can do is get some raw organic dark chocolate, it's not always easy to find a pre-mixed cocoa powder to drink that is non-alkalized. There used to be some brands that were that way, but you have to really look at the container to see if it's non-alkalized. If it says Dutch processed or processed with alkali, it's been alkalized to take out the bitterness, because it tastes better. I mean, to some people it tastes better. It does take out the bitterness and it makes it easier to sip the chocolate. But it also takes out a lot of the flavanols. It takes out a lot of the antioxidant properties. So if you want to use cocoa for the antioxidants and flavanols, it needs to be non-alkalized. So if your hot cocoa says on it cocoa processed with alkali or Dutch processed cocoa, you're not going to get it. I mean, you might enjoy drinking it, but you're not going to get as many flavonoids if it's not. So one thing to do is to try to find a hot cocoa mix that has non-alkalized cocoa, which is not always easy to find, or you can get raw organic cocoa powder and mix it up yourself. And then you can put your choice of milk in it, whether you want to use cow's milk, goat's milk, or a dairy substitute. Any of those are fine. Coconut milk goes very nicely. I find that with chocolate, you want something a little fattier. So a cashew milk, hemp milk, coconut milk, might be helpful because it's going to bring out the nice flavors in that cocoa. So you can use raw organic cocoa to taste. Remember, if it's unsweetened, you can have as much as you want. And so, you know, mix it up until it tastes cocoa-y enough for you. If you're going to do a sweetener, you can then do your pick. You can do coconut sugar. And you don't need something super sweet to sweeten up chocolate. So coconut sugar isn't as sweet as regular sugar. So you can try using coconut sugar. You can try and small amounts of maple syrup, honey, agave, or even, you know, raw sugar, sucanat. Those are all fine. And you don't want to overdo those. You want to just use enough to take the bitter taste out. If you want to do a non-caloric sweetener, the number one thing to add is not a sweetener, but cinnamon. Cinnamon with chocolate is really lovely tasting. It's another antioxidant. And if you put a lot of cinnamon, again, is something you can have as much as you want. I keep some next to the salt and pepper, and I put it in anything that will taste good. Cinnamon also goes, and I dump a bunch of cinnamon in my protein shake every day. So I really enjoy cinnamon, and you know, cinnamon is really something you should put on anything it tastes good on. So it can go in your hot cocoa. I recommend putting it in your hot cocoa, putting it in your coffee, and you might either not need to sweeten your hot cocoa or coffee, or you can use a lot less, because it does make things taste sweet, and yet it is helpful for regulating blood sugar. And you can also use non-caloric sweeteners. And so you could try doing some stevia, some whole stevia, or you can do monk fruit. And if those taste good to you, then you can have your sweet without having the calories. But the best thing is to try to see if you can have your cocoa without putting a sweetener. Another way to go is to use oat milk. And oat milk tastes really good. It tastes good with chocolate. I mean, who doesn't love chocolate chip oatmeal cookies, right? I found that I put oat milk into my coffee and I don't need it sweetened, because oats have a naturally sweet taste, but oat milk doesn't have a lot of calories. So that's another way to go. Do oat milk. You can do oat milk with raw organic cocoa powder, cinnamon to taste. If you want to do a squirt of real vanilla extract, real organic vanilla extract, you can do that too. And then all the cinnamon you like. And now you have something that has it's high in antioxidants, tastes really good, and you're going to get all the benefits of cocoa without the sugar. So that's something to try. So if you want to enjoy the benefits of cocoa, opt for dark chocolate containing a minimum of 70% cocoa solids. That's organic, fair trade, and minimally processed. Minimally processed means not Dutch, not alkalized. Conched is fine. That conching is what Diane does at Divine Treasure in Manchester. You want to limit your intake to no more than 30 to 50 grams a day, as too much can cause side effects such as headaches, nausea, or weight gain. Okay. You can also have it to taste. Like I said, if your raw organic cocoa is unsweetened, you can have as much as you want. And if you get symptoms from it, you want to do it short of the symptoms. And if you're very sensitive to chocolate, to caffeine, some people are very sensitive to caffeine and theobromine. Like if I eat a really high quality dark chocolate before bed, I'm going to have trouble sleeping because I'm very sensitive to caffeine. If I'm going to do that, I try to have it earlier in the day. And if I want to have dessert, I try to have something that's mellower on the chocolate at night. That happens. It doesn't always happen. We've probably got a trip to Divine Treasures coming soon because it is just about Valentine's Day. Dark chocolate is more than a treat for you to enjoy. It's a superfood, and it can provide many health benefits for your heart, brain, your skin, your blood sugar, your immune system, your mood, your gut, and your circadian clock. You can't lose. But do eat it in moderation, especially if it has sugar in it. If it doesn't have sugar in it, you can eat as much as you can get away with without getting symptoms. And then it's going to be good for you. So that's health benefits of chocolate. And here's some more health benefits of chocolate. This is from, this is another article on it. So here's some. So chocolate is nutritious. Did you know the average American consumes up to 20 pounds of chocolate a year? And so that would not surprise me if
it wouldn't surprise me in
this house.
I'm sure I'm way over that number.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, the thing is, there are some people who don't like chocolate and don't eat it, so we're making up for them.
Okay.
Someone
had to do it.
The average American is consuming 20 pounds of chocolate, so if that's average, if it's that's the mean, and I know that some people I know and love don't do chocolate, so that's you, Maggie. my my former sister-in-law, Maggie, was not a I always remember that about her. She's not a chocolate person. I still love her. Anyway, there are some types of chocolate that have lots of antioxidants and polyphenols, and that processed highly sweetened chocolate is not beneficial to you, but high quality dark chocolate is. And a 2024 Consumer Reports analysis found that 23 of 28 dark chocolate bars tested positive for alarming levels of heavy metals, while all 28 had at least trace levels of lead and cadmium. So dark chocolate is high in fiber and an iron-rich food, but it can have harmful heavy metals. So that would be another reason to eat it in moderation. And the thing is, you have to realize that if you eat things that come from the earth, they're going to have some heavy metals in it. And that would be why to be eating lots of fiber all the time, so that you have a lot of stuff coming out of you, that you drink lots of water and eat lots of fiber, because you can't avoid a certain level of lead and cadmium because they're in the soil. There's just no way to avoid it. I mean, you have to eat 100% processed food to completely avoid it, and you're not going to do that. So eating a lot of fiber and making sure your liver is working well, making sure your organs of detoxification are happening, you're not the amount of heavy metals that go in, they're not going to stay around in your body. So a 1 ounce serving of dark chocolate with 70-80% cacao solids, which is what you're looking for, has about 170 calories, 13 grams of carbs, 3.1 grams of fiber, which is not nothing, 6.8 grams of sugar, if I'm assuming that's a sweetened cocoa. It has 12.1 grams of fat, 7 of which are saturated, 0.4 are polyunsaturated, 0.01. I thought that cocoa was a good source of monounsaturated fats, but doesn't say it has very much. Little protein. So when you get your mocha, if you look at the nutrition facts of the mocha, if you look at the your favorite mocha website, if your cafe has a website, you will find that there is some protein in your mocha, even if you don't get milk in your mocha. Of course, there's going to be more protein in a mocha that has milk in it because there's protein in the milk. But chocolate itself has protein in it. There's some sodium, copper, manganese, iron, there's a lot. Now, an ounce of chocolate has 65 milligrams of magnesium, which is not nothing. That's enough to do something for you. So that's interesting. There's a little zinc, a little phosphorus, a decent amount of potassium, 203 milligrams of potassium in 1 ounce of chocolate. That's not nothing. A tiny amount of selenium, K, and a little bit of calcium. So the calcium is not nothing. It's 21 milligrams, but it's not a huge amount, but it's not nothing. So again, dark chocolate, we talked about this already, that it has disease-preventing free radicals. It's potentially protective against cancer. The flavanols are cardioprotective. There was a study in the International Journal of Cardiology who had subjects consume either a daily dose of flavonoid-rich dark chocolate or non-flavonoid white chocolate for 2 weeks. And the study showed that the flavonoid chocolate significantly improved circulation in adults, whereas the white chocolate really didn't. Because the red chocolate, it's just basically sweetened cocoa butter and doesn't have the flavanols in it. And so there was a study in 2015 that followed the health of more than 20,000 people for 11 years and found that higher chocolate intake was associated with a lower risk of heart disease. In fact, among subjects who consumed the most chocolate, 12% developed or died of cardiovascular disease during the study, compared to 17% of those who didn't. So chocolate is good for your overall cholesterol profile. The cocoa butter found in chocolate is high in healthy fats and polyphenols, which are beneficial compounds that act as antioxidants in the body. Dark chocolate is actually a rare high cholesterol food to include versus avoid. There was a study in the Southern Medical Journal that looked at the impact of chocolate on 28 healthy subjects and found that just 1 week of dark chocolate consumption improved lipid profiles, decreased platelet reactivity, and reduced inflammation. Another review of 10 studies showed that consuming flavanol chocolate was effective at reducing levels of total bad LDL cholesterol, which are major risk factors for heart disease. Dark chocolate has been found in observational studies to lower LDL and serum fasting blood glucose in diabetics. It doesn't seem to have a lot of effect on HDL, but it will lower LDL. All right. It improves cognitive function. It improves blood flow to the brain. So that could be helpful for people with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. The Journal of Nutrition noted that consumption of flavanol-rich foods like chocolate, wine, and tea was linked to better brain function and improved cognitive performance. There was a 2022 study that revealed that dark chocolate may help reduce fatigue in individuals, leading to improvements in brain health and cognitive functions. Chocolate can improve your blood pressure, which makes sense because it enhances nitric oxide. So adding chocolate to your diet can help to reduce your blood pressure, which could protect against cardiovascular disease and stroke. And there was a study that found that consuming 25 grams of dark chocolate was effective at lowering blood pressure in those with type 2 diabetes and hypertension. So, and it can help reduce your fasting blood sugar as well. Chemistry Central Journal showed that the total flavanol and polyphenol levels, as well as the antioxidant activity of chocolate and cocoa powder, were compared to superfruits like acai, cranberry, pomegranate, and blueberry, and found that the flavanol content of cocoa powder, which is 30 milligrams per gram, was significantly greater than all the superfruit powders. Who knew? So if you have chocolate with the superfruits, you're going to even up the ante. And you can get chocolate that has blueberries, cranberries, blackberries, and so you're just going to, it'll be more enjoyable, and you'll get the antioxidants from both. And the antioxidant capacity of dark chocolate was higher than all of the superfruit juices except pomegranate. The total polyphenol level per serving was also highest for chocolate, which was significantly higher than all the fruit juices except pomegranate juice. So pomegranate juice is really high in flavanols. It's something we try to recommend to people to consume for cardiovascular health. And I have some, and I keep not drinking it for no good reason. And I'm going to start drinking it more. Chocolate can help your vision. So there was a trial that looked at chocolate and found that contrast sensitivity and visual acuity of 30 patients was better after consuming dark versus milk chocolate, so it might help to boost vision. They need to study it some more. And a 2020 study did determine that dark chocolate did not result in a significant change in retinal perfusion or choriocapillaris flow. That's basically circulation to your eye. But given the results of the other study showing positive effects on visual function, that further study should be warranted. And higher dose flavanols may be helpful over a more extended period. So chocolate, we talked about skin health already. The flavanol status can help to protect you against sun damage. So again, raw organic cocoa powder. And reducing stress, because dark chocolate has been shown to reduce cortisol and epinephrine, as we talked about in the other article. And protective against diabetes, because of the flavanols and because it improves your insulin sensitivity. It can reduce your risk of diabetes and can help your insulin sensitivity if you already have it. Milk chocolate is low in flavanols. It's probably also alkalized, so it's not going to be as helpful. So, and milk chocolate is linked to more long-term weight gain, because it's just lower in flavanols, and depending on the milk chocolate you're eating, if it's not alkalized, you're not going to get the benefits. So dark chocolate is overall associated with a lower risk of diabetes. Chocolate has been linked to some other things like acne, weight gain, gas and bloating, headaches, sleep disturbances, mood changes, cavities, constipation, and nervousness. So the thing is, for acne, it's probably because of the sugar. The weight gain, again, it's if you're eating milk chocolate, also because of the sugar. Gas and bloating, it's only going to be, if you're dairy intolerant, that could be causing it. If it has some fructans or FODMAPs in it that don't agree with you, you might not be able to do chocolate. Of course, if you're consuming too much chocolate with sugar in it, the sugar and the dairy in it can be a problem. Sometimes people get headaches from eating chocolate because anything that's a nitric oxide enhancer increases circulation. Anything that increases circulation to your brain, if it does it too much, that can give you a headache. So some people get headaches from chocolate. Some people, it's a migraine trigger for them, so they can't eat it. It can cause sleep disturbances, again, for probably a couple of mechanisms. One is that it has theobromine and caffeine in it. So if you're very theobromine or caffeine sensitive, it's going to keep you awake. And the other thing is, again, it increases circulation to your brain, which is going to get you thinking. So so better to have it earlier in the day. I don't know that it helped. Well, like I said, I think for me, if I have a high quality chocolate before bed, I might have trouble sleeping. It can give you cavities only because of the sugar. The cocoa is not going to give you cavities, but the if there's sugar in it, that any, if you eat too much sugar, you can get more cavities. Some people get constipation from it. Again, is that because of the chocolate itself, or if you're eating dairy with chocolate in it, chocolate with dairy in it, that can make you constipated. And it can make you anxious, and it can make you anxious again. If you're caffeine and theobromine sensitive, it can make you more anxious. Some people can't do chocolate because they just don't feel well when they eat it. Then there's the Consumer Reports analysis that showed there were some heavy metals, and the research noted that eating an ounce of a day of the higher level heavy metals would put you over a level that public health says might be harmful. So finding out if the chocolate that you're eating has too much heavy metal, then it's a good idea to back off on that brand. So there are brands that have safer choices. So if you go online, you can find the safer choices for chocolate. And there's, I can't read brands to you, but I can encourage you to look it up and find out what the levels are of lead and cadmium in the chocolate. There's going to be some in a lot of them, unfortunately, but and there's going to be more lead in some of them, and then there's certain brands that it's really not a problem. So you have to look that up on your own. I'll let you do that. And there are lists of safer choices. So, all right. So that's the health benefits of dark chocolate. Do consider having some raw organic cocoa powder, and or cocoa nibs. And you can have that as the main way that you consume your chocolate. And if you're going to get bars, look for bars that are lower in lead and cadmium. Thanks. Okay. And so here's some heart-healthy activities that you might want to participate in for Valentine's Day. So eating out sounds good. Candlelight dinner and strolling in the moonlight looks like fun. But going to a restaurant on Valentine's Day can be, you know, it's going to be very busy on Valentine's Day, and you have to wait for your table, and your food might not be that great, you might be having unhealthier versions of chocolate, and, you know, the drugstore has a lot of heart-shaped chocolates, but Valentine's Day is a good idea to make, to become more aware of your heart health. So here's some things that you can do. So consider not going to the restaurant, or if you want to go to the restaurant, make reservations at a place way in advance, or don't go on Valentine's Day proper. I would have to say that, you know, Valentine's Day this year is on a Friday, so the restaurants are going to be booked out and busy on Friday nights. I'm always exhausted on Friday nights because I'm done working, seeing patients for the week. So going out to dinner isn't going to work for me. But people are going to go out on Saturday night, the 15th, as well, because it's Saturday. So the restaurants are going to tend to be busy. So you could consider going to a restaurant not on those days, or just consider eating in. And if you want to pay attention to your heart health, make some fish for dinner. So get wild caught, cold water seafood. It's high in omega-3 fatty acids. There's great recipes you can get. There's recipes for you can get a recipe for teriyaki salmon, or you can do salmon with curry on it, or you can make a chowder. If you want to get other ways to make omega-3 fatty acids, to get omega-3 fatty acids, you can always do ground flax seeds. If you're not big on fish, then you could do something with chicken in it, but sprinkle it with ground flax seeds, or have nuts which have monounsaturated fats in it, and you know, something that's encrusted with almonds, for example, and you'll get some monounsaturated fats, which are also good for your heart health. You can look for new recipes. So a lot of Americans, about 90% of Americans, don't like to cook, and they're spending a lot to avoid it. When you eat out and grab convenience foods, it gets expensive and you gain weight. So make a new dish that you haven't had before and make it fun, and do it with your sweetie. Make it sweet and healthy, so you don't have to have sugary processed foods. And maybe not have a huge sugary dessert, and find recipes that are lower in sugar, so that feature fruit, and maybe have a little bit of good quality chocolate chips sprinkled into them. We already mentioned flax seeds. Chia seeds are also high in alpha-linolenic acid, and they are essential fatty acids that can reduce inflammation and help with your cardiovascular health. Make sure you eat the rainbow, a lot of colorful vegetables and fruit. They have nutrients that protect your heart, and anything. So making anything with fruits and vegetables. You can also make homemade gelato or sorbetto at home. You can have some dark chocolate. Remember the heart healthy flavonoids. We talked all about that. Get some kind of exercise. It can be relaxing and romantic to do some really yin or restorative exercise, yin or restorative yoga on Valentine's Day. And you could do it with your sweetie. You could also include massage with your partner too. And, you know, put some relaxing music on. You can go to this year, Valentine's Day will be on a Friday. So there is a restorative yoga class on Valentine's Day at YONO. And you can also always do restorative yoga at home. You can watch a rom-com, something funny, and laugh. Laughing can lower stress, decrease inflammation, support healthy cholesterol. We already talked about doing some yoga, doing any kind of yoga. I would say for Valentine's Day, don't feel like you have to do a really intense yoga. Do either a gentle practice, a gentle flow, or yin or restorative yoga. And that can be really nice. Just make yourself happy, whether you're alone or with someone. Have an optimistic mindset. You can't reduce your stress completely, but you can dial it down with meditation, deep breathing, yoga, watching a funny movie. Get good, adequate sleep. Regardless of other risk factors, not getting sufficient sleep can increase your risk of cardiovascular disease. So the more and better quality sleep you get, the less you are likely to have cardiovascular disease. And take some vitamins. There are certain vitamins that can be really helpful. Things that increase nitric oxide, for example, like beets, and protein and amino acids. And talk to your friendly local naturopath or practitioner about what might work for you. All right, so that's enough of me talking today. And so let's see. So I'm going to let you go. Happy Valentine's Day, however you celebrate it. And if you went to the chocolate festival and the co-op birthday party, happy birthday, Willimantic Food Co-op. Happy times, Willimantic. And I hope you enjoy it however you like. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. Yep. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM. WHUS stores and WHUS.org.